This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the Health Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. On today's podcast, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Anurit Bajaj, founder and lead plastic surgeon at Bajaj Plastic Surgery in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Bajaj Plastic Surgery specializes in a variety of facial and body plastic surgery procedures, including breast augmentation, breast lift, tummy tuck, facelift, neck lift, and rhinoplasty. And Dr. Bajaj, we thank you for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And we're certainly equally as happy to have you with us here today, and thank you so much for your time. So tell us, for starters, why would one want to have a facelift, and what does it do?
So a lot of people will start to consider a facelift as they enter their 40s, 50s, and 60s, when they start to notice that their neckline is not as sharp as it used to be. They may even notice some jowls or some banding in their neck. And so that's when they want to start considering a facelift. And it's important to remember that while we think that the banding in the neck is only related to the neck, or that the jowls are only related to the jowls, the face and the neck work together. And so those two things are really addressed simultaneously with the facelift and neck lift. The other reason people may start to consider it is they'll notice that their cheeks aren't as full and that things have started to sag. I always tell patients that when we're young in our 20s, if we look at our faces, we have an oval appearance. And as we get older, our faces look more square.
Yeah, certainly interesting details, and really do appreciate your thoughts and feedback in that regard. Now, when should one actually have a facelift? Is there a better time than another?
Basically, when it starts to bother you. Some people will have really bad jowling and a really bad neck that looks like a turkey gobbler, and it doesn't bother them. For other people, it really bothers them. So you would want to consider a facelift when it starts to bother you or concern you, and if it is something you want to address. For a lot of people, this is something that usually they start to worry about in their 50s and 60s when they start to notice it. But it's also important to remember that doing a surgical facelift is only one component of facial rejuvenation as a whole.
Now, here's a question for you. Can prior use of Botox or fillers affect a facelift recovery, and will you still have any need for them in the future?
So, as I just said, that a surgical facelift is only one component of the facial rejuvenation process. So, let's backtrack a little bit and talk about the different components of facial aging. One is at the skin quality level, or skin texture, which, you know, is something that involves routine maintenance, like good skincare, sunscreen, facial resurfacing procedures like chemical peels and lasers, and as well as toxins. The other component is a loss of volume. The cruel thing about getting older is we gain weight everywhere else, but yet all the facial fat pockets in our face atrophy. And that's where fillers or fat grafting come in. And then we experience the ligamentous laxity, or the sagging that we see in the creation of the jowls and the platysmal bands, and that's where a facelift is really beneficial. So if you're using Botox long-term and you started in your 30s, like a lot of today's young people are doing, it will prevent the development or the progression of those dynamic wrinkles, because Botox and other toxins paralyze or weaken the muscle. For example, your 11s, you have two muscles right between your eyebrows that cause those 11s, and Botox will weaken them so that you don't form those wrinkles. And if you wait for a long time before you start Botox, sometimes those wrinkles will still be there even if the muscle's not working. Think of it like you send your pants to the cleaners, to the dry cleaners, and that pant crease is ironed in so deeply that even if you straighten it out, you still see it. So that's why people start Botox at a younger age. With the fillers, you know, we start fillers to help to deal with the loss of volume, particularly in the fat pockets in our cheeks and our temples. How this affects a surgical facelift can vary depending on what the filler is that's used. Sometimes it does cause a little bit more scarring, but in today's world, so many people have been treating themselves with Botox and fillers prior to surgery. It's become something that we have to learn how to deal with. And to answer your question about whether you would still need to use these adjuncts after a surgical facelift, the answer is yes. Toxins and fillers are another form of maintenance because your muscles, you'll still be able to form those forehead wrinkles or those 11s unless you weaken those muscles with a toxin. And you may still need some degree of facial filler at some point in the future. A lot of times when we do a facelift, we combine it with fat grafting so that we can have a more permanent solution to restoring your facial volume. Other times we don't, in which case you may still need fillers.
Really helpful information shared so far. We really do appreciate your visit. We're speaking with Dr. Anurit Bajaj, founder and lead plastic surgeon at Bajaj Plastic Surgery in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, what can one expect in regards to facelift recovery and scars? Talk to us about that.
So the scars usually start at the hairline above your ears, go along in front of your ear, and then go behind your ear, and then along the hairline at the back of your head, like along the side of your head right behind your ear, and also an incision underneath your chin. These scars usually heal really well because most facial scars fade really well. And when it's done correctly, you don't even see the scars really unless you're really starting to pick and get really up close to a patient. Typically, the surgery will take about 4 hours or so. And most people go home the same day as their surgery. They'll have bruising and swelling for about 1 to 2 weeks. And so most people don't usually feel comfortable going out in public and wearing makeup for about 2 weeks. The overall healing process of where the swelling starts to subside and the scars start to fade takes a little bit longer than that.
Great information there. Good stuff. And lastly, do you recommend a combined facelift with surgery such as a neck lift or fat grafting? And what's your thoughts on that?
So as I've mentioned, as we've talked, these are all adjuncts to a good quality facelift, and it really depends on the patient's needs. The face and the neck are usually addressed simultaneously in most people because that's really what they need. The muscle tightening at the facelift layer occurs at a facelift occurs in the deep level or deep plane underneath the SMAS, which is the submuscular apneurotic system, which is continuous with the platysma muscle in the neck. So if we're tightening the SMAS on the face, we also have to tighten the platysma in the neck. And so that's why I believe that those two work in concert together. And as I mentioned earlier, as we age, we lose volume in our face, which is why some people will start using fillers in their 20s or 30s. If you're having a facelift, it makes sense to then do fat grafting, because when we do fat grafting, we're taking fat from one part of the body and then injecting it to restore volume to your cheeks or temples or wherever else you may need it. And that fat has the potential to be permanent because about 50 to 70% of what's injected will take. So potentially you may not require the use of fillers as you continue to age.
Dr. Bajaj, we certainly do appreciate what you do in the space, and on behalf of Bajaj Plastic Surgery there in Oklahoma. If listeners wanted to get more information on your practice there in Oklahoma City, where's the best place online to do so?
Probably going to our website, which is bajajplasticsurgery.com, or to my Instagram page, which is at Bajaj Plastic Surgery.
And of course, listeners, you can always refer to the show notes of this broadcast where you can pick up these links for your convenience. Dr. Bajaj, all the best, and look forward to another conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And certainly was my pleasure. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Anurit Bajaj, founder and lead plastic surgeon at Bajaj Plastic Surgery in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And again, for all the details, visit BajajPlasticSurgery.com. And this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. healthadvice.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.